Well, I ask, and you guys answered a ton of Twitter Tuesday submissions here for a Tuesday show. We're going to get into that. Plus, Tennessee, its 15th commit for the class of 2022. That is Christian Harrison. And some interesting stats on Tennessee's offense here in Josh Heupel's year one. You're going to want to hear all that and more here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. All right, Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. So, like I said in the cold open, we have got a lot to get into. You guys know the drill. Locked On Vols, your first listen. You can find it at underscore Kane or at Locked On Vols. 5 days a week, completely free, and on every single platform. So let's get right into the content. Twitter Tuesday, you guys did an awesome job of bringing in your questions and comments, and we'll start off with Brandon Head. Will the SEC implement an on-field injury rule during the offseason? Additionally, when is the SEC postseason meeting? As far as the SEC postseason meeting, I'm not exactly sure what the date is. I'm sure I could have looked it up, so I do apologize. I should have done that before the podcast, but it's probably somewhere around the Christmas holiday, around New Year, maybe after the bowl games, but there is usually some type of SEC postseason meeting. They also have the spring meetings in Destin every single year, so there's that. And as far as implementing an on-field injury rule, they're going to have to do something to address the cramping issues. Ole Miss does it more than anybody in the country. Teams that play Tennessee have done it all season long. And guys, let's not be naive now. Tennessee does it as well, okay? And so have you ever seen Tennessee on the PAT team? If you know what I'm talking about, it'll frustrate you. So there's going to have to be something addressed in the offseason. I don't know what that is, but I would assume that something will be addressed there. And it might not just be from the SEC. It'll probably be NCAA-wide because that is an issue in college football right now. We're going to go rapid fire through these. We'll go to Ethan next with a commit from Harrison. How many more high school players should we be expecting in this class, or how many transfers should we be counting against our 25? Well, as far as the transfers, of course, Tennessee's had nobody enter the portal since the end of the season so far. It's just day one, but that portal was a buzzing today, or on Monday rather. I'm not saying that no one will enter the portal. That's just the nature of the beast. That's probably what's going to happen, right? Depending on that, plus how many super seniors come back, again, that kind of figures into the number on how many Tennessee can go over the 25 to sign additional players from the transfer portal. We don't know that number yet. But as far as high school players in this class, a rough estimate, I would say maybe, Tennessee's at 15 right now commits. Say all those guys sign, I bet Tennessee, I'm not saying they'll all sign in December, but most of them will. I'll say Tennessee will get around 18 to 19 prep athletes right now is what I'll say, and then you fill in the rest from the transfer portal. So again, I'm not saying those numbers are not final. That's just kind of what I'm anticipating. And again, that might not all be finished in December, but Tennessee does have 15 commits as of right now for the class of 2022. We will go to Ernie. Ernie was the winner of our ticket giveaway earlier this year. Shout out, Ernie. With the rumor mill already getting started with the portal, what do you know about Georgia Tech's running back Gibbs? I think his name is Jamar Gibbs. And secondly, Tyon Evans, hearing he wasn't going to class and school isn't for him. He can bounce back, or is it best for him to go and try out for a Canadian league or try to go ahead and try out for the NFL? Personally, just don't think he has enough tape. Great job this season, Kaner. Thanks for all you do. Hey, I appreciate that, Ernie. Appreciate you for listening. As far as Tyon Evans, man, I don't know, dude. He is a good back, in my opinion. I really like watching him play when he was healthy. He got hit by the injury bug an awful lot. It happened in spring, happened a couple times this year. And, is there a durability issue there? Is there a toughness issue? I'm not going to say there's a toughness issue because I'm not there. I don't know him like that. But there is a durability issue. That's pretty evident. I would agree with you. I don't think he has enough tape whatsoever to try for the NFL. I'm just curious because I've heard from multiple people that school really isn't for him. I don't know if he's not going to class or if he's failing class. I'm just saying, some athletes, just school isn't for them, right? But if you're going to transfer, you're going to stay in the Power Five or stay in college, you're going to have to take classes. So I'm just intrigued on what his next move is, because you're right, Ernie, I would agree with you. I don't believe he has enough tape to try to make it to the NFL. Maybe the Canadian League or another league would be an option. I just think that'd be a shame because if you play one more year and take care of business, potentially you would have enough tape. So that's intriguing. We'll have to see exactly how that unfolds moving forward. All right, we will head on over and we'll check in with Jonathan. If I can pull Jonathan up right here. I've heard there was a five-star quarterback at the game this weekend. Do you have any insight on this player? Does he fit our system? Could we actually land this guy? I hope I'm not cheating with so many questions here in one tweet. No, you're not cheating at all, man. All right, his name is Nico something. I had him record it. I have already forgotten how he pronounces his name. I am Olivia, something like that. that is a name that I will have to go over and over and over as we continue on throughout this recruiting process. But he is a stud. He's a four-star rated by Rivals. He's a five-star rated by another publication. I'm not sure if it's ESPN or 24/7, but he's a good player. He's one of the, I think he's, for Rivals, he's the number three rated pro-style quarterback. He's about 6 foot six. He's about 205 pounds. He's got a lot of room to grow and put weight on that frame. His dad is a big guy. He has tried to come into Tennessee twice already this season, finally made it in for the Vanderbilt game, had a chance to talk with him this weekend. He was blown away, right? He was absolutely blown away by what Tennessee was. He had no expectations of Tennessee. He didn't know what to expect. And coming in, seeing the environments, and really, I mean, that wasn't even as good of an environment as it could have been compared to some of the games this past season. But for Nico, the California quarterback, pro-style quarterback, he will be as highly rated as Arch Manning when this is all said and done. He is a stud. He wants to play football in the South. He has been all over the map. He's been to Georgia. He's been to Alabama. He's been to Tennessee. He's been to Southern Cal. He's been to Oregon. He's been to UCLA. He's been to USC. Notre Dame, I meant. He's been all over the place. So it was good to finally get him on campus. He was blown away. He was very impressed, but, you know, that's probably got a long ways to go, if we're being completely honest. We will go to Drew Parsons next. So this year was great, but we all know it can go sideways real quick if the recruiting isn't there. If Coach Josh Heupel can't recruit at a high level, how long before it becomes apparent, and how much grace should the administration give to him? Well, for the class of 2022, grace infinity, right? You need to start seeing progress in the class of 2023 and beyond. Because Tennessee's roster is where it is right now, because Tennessee, in my opinion, won't bring in a huge, highly rated class. I mean, highly rated class, excuse me. I think this class is going to be fine. I think there's some players in there, but, you know, it's not going to be a top 10. You know, likely won't be a top 15. It's going to be, you know, I feel like in terms of recruiting, it might be behind the eight ball again for another cycle. But the important thing to know is this coaching staff's already making relationships with the 23s and the 24s, so I expect it to get better from here on out. So grace now, but it's sooner or later, you got to prove that you can recruit at this level, and I don't think we're going to see that until a couple of cycles down the road, or at least next year's cycle. So grace now, but maybe not so much later. We'll move on to Walnuts. Walnuts wants to know, what are my thoughts on the seniors who can't return and their NFL potential? Who do you believe has the highest probability of being drafted? Thanks, man. Love the show. Well, I appreciate you, man. Cade Mays, highest probability of being drafted. You know, probably a second-day pick, maybe. You know, third-day pick, no matter what. He'll be drafted for Cade Mays. You know, what about a guy like Velus Jones? He has turned into a good receiver. He is a great returner. He'll be in a camp no matter what. He'll be in the camp no matter what. I'm just intrigued on if he will get drafted. What about Javonte Payton? He showed his deep threat ability, and he's fast. So I think he could get a look for sure. Matthew Butler, I think, has played himself into some money. Theo Jackson, I think, has played himself into some money. But to be Alante Taylor will probably be drafted, in my opinion. So I think Taylor will be drafted. I think Cade Mays will be drafted for sure. But all these other guys, like, I don't know the draft stock where they are right now, but all these other guys like Jackson, like Payton, like Jones, I think will all be in a camp, you know, for those guys. So, yeah, I think all those guys will be making some type of money from a collegiate level aspect, at least in the summer, you know, leading up and after the NFL draft. We will move on to Trevor, and then we will take a short break. And I was going to try to fit all these in one segment, but we're going to have to hit it on the other side And that's a credit to you guys. Thanks so much for investing in the show. We'll go to Trevor. Not really a question, but Saturday was my fourth game at Neyland. My first game under the Danny White administration and Coach Heupel. The whole atmosphere felt completely different than any other game I've been to. I'm very excited for the future of the program under these two. Yeah, I mean, I would agree, man, with the light show, with the running out of the TV at the spotlights, with the fireworks, with the jerseys, the in-game entertainment with the music. You got, you know, Sterl the Pearl. Yeah, they've done a whole lot to try to emphasize the game day atmosphere. And it's not over. It's not nearly complete. So, Trevor, I would agree with that as well. Braden, Eric, Sean, Clay, we're going to hit you guys on the other side, I promise you there. But first, let me remind you guys about NetSuite. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of all your financials, inventory, HR planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is available and everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head on over to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for the special end-of-the-year financing on a number of financial systems for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. And Prize Picks. It's the leader in daily college sports fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and also offers the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All new users use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And PrizePicks also allows for mixed sports entries as well. Use the award-winning app at both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. And PrizePicks, it's safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks, it's daily fantasy made easy. We are full speed ahead here for a Twitter Tuesday on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for joining the show today and for contributing and investing in this show. I'm serious when I say this. It is just as much yours as it is mine. We will continue on with some Twitter Tuesday questions. We'll head next to Braden. I'm going to make you to pick between your favorite children here. What senior from this class are you going to miss the most? P.S. I fully admit to watching the wave go around Neyland 7 times instead of watching the game. Couldn't stop watching it. Well, at points and times on Saturday, there wasn't much to watch. So, Braden, I get you there, my man. As far as seniors you're going to miss the most, I mean, Hendon Hooker if he doesn't come back, but I feel like he'll come back. Cedric Tillman if he wouldn't come back, but I feel like he'll come back. And, of course, those guys will have to make some announcements. But I'm going to go with Velus Jones, and for a lot of the reasons why I mentioned in the last segment, he has turned into a really good receiver, but what he brings to the return game is incredible. He leads the SEC in both kickoff return yards as well as punt return yards. In the last 2 weeks alone, I get it, competition, but he had a 33-yard punt return and a 50-yard punt return. I mean, Velus is a great and a dynamic player with the ball in his hands, and you know, not everybody can return things. You know, it takes a special type of guy, a fearless type of guy. And, of course, Velus does have one kickoff return for a touchdown on the season. So, you know, Tennessee's had no return game the last couple of years. Even with Velus on last year's team, they wouldn't allow him to return any type of punts. I didn't get that. Of course, Eric Gray returned some punts as well. But Velus Jones would probably be the guy just because of his utility and his versatility both on offense and in special teams. He can also play the slot and outside on offense as well. So, he would probably be the guy that I would say. We'll head on over to Eric. Eric says, or he asks, is Juwan Mitchell next? Is he going to be back next season? To answer that quickly, I don't expect that to happen. There's been no announcement, but I don't expect Juwan Mitchell to be back on the team next year? If not, are there any 2022 guys likely to see the field next year? Well, in the committed class right now at linebacker, I would say Elijah Herring's the closest one to it. He's thick. He looks, he's got a long way to go, don't get me wrong, but he's a thick guy. He's quick. He's smart. He's a guy that I think can be a quick learner. And if you get him into a strength and conditioning program in January, you know, by the time August rolls around, he'll put some weight on, put some muscle on. I'm not saying he'll play a big role. I'm not saying he'll play a role at all, but he would be the guy that I would probably say that would be the closest bet right now. I think Tennessee will be active in the transfer portal. Or does our linebacker room look the same next year? I think a lot of it will look the same. I think all three of the main contributors that are here now, Banks, Beasley, and Page, will also be back next year. I would love to see Mohan and Willis get some time. They like Mohan a lot. He's just really green, as one of the coaches described him to me a couple weeks ago. And Aaron Willis has got to gain weight. He weighs 200 pounds. He has got to get bigger or he will never play at this level, is what I've been hearing. So, Eric, appreciate you chiming in there. We will go to Shane, who will be receiving a red shirt for this season in 2021. I'm sure there's going to be more, but like of the guys that kind of play or are kind of in like that two deep role, and some of these guys aren't even in it. Latrell Bumpus very much is so in it. I don't think the plan was for him to redshirt, but I think injuries kind of forced the hand there. So I think Bumpus will be a redshirt candidate. Obviously, he was a healthy scratch like the last three or four games of the season. So Bumpus is certainly going to redshirt. I think Bryson Easton's a guy that's going to redshirt. I've been told he's going to redshirt along with Dominic Bailey. You saw Bryson Easton come in and play a couple of snaps against Vanderbilt. In the first couple of plays, he made those plays. They're playing on the edge. They're going to move him inside. He weighs about 320. He's gotten to be really, really big. He's put on some good weight, though. They're going to move him inside and I think have him playing as a three tech in the future. So Bryson Easton will be a redshirt candidate. Dominic Bailey is going to be a redshirt candidate. I would assume Kamen Marley will be a redshirt candidate. He didn't see the field an awful lot. You know, a lot of these other freshmen that came in last year, they played a lot of special teams, like Aaron Willis, played more than four games on special teams, and some other guys like him. Deshaun Rucker did as well. Christian Charles, I need to check the tape or need to check the stat sheet. He was injured so much this year, he might qualify for a red shirt, but those are the guys that jump out of the page for me right off the top of my head. We will go to Clay. Obviously, we're not expecting a strong top 10 recruiting class for next year. In your opinion, what are the necessary additions for Heupel and company to have a successful offseason? Also, how hard do you think Coach goes after guys in the transfer portal? I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate that, Clay. Very aggressive in the transfer portal, no doubt. I expect Tennessee to be very, very active in the transfer portal. I think Tennessee needs to find some receivers. I think Tennessee needs to find some linebackers. I think Tennessee needs to might be on the lookout for an offensive tackle. I think Tennessee needs to look out for maybe a safety. Those are the and maybe a defensive lineman as well, because you're losing the likes of obviously Matthew Butler. You're losing Jaquan Blakely. You're losing Caleb Tremblay. You're losing Aubrey Solomon. I know he didn't play a factor into the season, but just in terms of just a body, you're losing those guys. So off the top of my head, linebacker, receiver, defensive line, maybe a tackle, and maybe a safety. But I think Tennessee will be very, very aggressive in the transfer portal. And then lastly, let's head on over to Always the Volin. Like villain, but Volin, get it? I like that. Who are the seniors with an extra season left, and who do you project to return next season? All right, so here are the seniors that went through Senior Day festivities, the notable seniors. Now, there were some walk-ons in there I didn't list, and I do apologize, but these are the notable seniors that went through Senior Day activities. Jaquan Blakely, he has no eligibility left. Theo Jackson, no eligibility left. Trayvon Flowers does have eligibility left. I'm not sure about him, but he went through Senior Day activities, so that kind of looks like he's leaning towards not coming back. Same with Kayron Calvert, does have another year left if he wants it, but he went through Senior Day activities. Javonte Payton, Matthew Butler, Kenneth George Jr., those three, no eligibility left. Grant Furking, who is a walk-on, friend of the program, he went through Senior Day activities. He can come back if he wants to. Cade Mays has another year left, but he will not come back. He will go to the NFL draft. Caleb Tremblay, no eligibility left. Aubrey Solomon could redshirt and come back, but it doesn't look like he's going to do that. Valus Jones, no eligibility left. And then Alante Taylor's already accepted a Senior Bowl invitation, so he will be moving on. So we'll see about Trayvon Flowers and Kayron Calvert. but Hendon Hooker did not participate in senior day activities. Cedric Tillman did not. Jerome Carvin did not. So I expect all those three guys to come back, would be my opinion right now. So, all right, that is going to do it here for the Twitter Tuesday portion of the show. Going to try to hit a couple of things really, really quick in segment three, because I got a lot of content to get to if I can fit it all in here for a Tuesday show. If not, we will hit it on Wednesday. But before we get into that, guys, new sponsor of the show, let's welcome Boost Mobile. All right, you listen to the podcast for the power of knowledge on Tennessee football, right? You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of three unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can harness all the brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that knowledge you'll gain, how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. That is Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers coverage not available for everyone or for all phones or networks. See BoostMobile.com for more details. And BetOnline, it's covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues to march on through the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile site to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you need for that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit is by using the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the rest of the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest. BetOnline is the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline.ag, it is where the game starts. We've got a final segment left here on a Tuesday show of Locked On Vols. Thanks for joining me, guys. Available on all platforms completely free Monday through Friday. It is your spot to find out all the Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting knowledge you can stand all in 35 minutes a day. I'll try to get it to around 30 each and every episode. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks so much for following along, listening along, taking time out of your day. You can find me at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. For those new to the show, you might not know me. I am a radio personality at The Sports Animal in Knoxville, Tennessee. You also can hear me on WIVK and News Talk 98.7 WOKI, doing some sports reports. Also, I am the host of this podcast. I cover recruiting for VolQuest Rivals, and I do a little TV work on the side, the locker room, Rivalry Thursday, Playoff Friday. Whole lot on the docket for myself, and I enjoy every single bit of it. Okay, so a couple things I want to get into here. Jerome Carvin, of course, he announced on The Locker Room, one of the shows that I am a part of frequently. He mentioned that on Sunday night. This is after I already recorded a Monday show, that he will be returning to Tennessee in 2022. He will be a super senior, so that is a good sign for Glenn Ellerbe and Alex Golish and Josh Heupel for that offense. Four of the five offensive linemen starters will be returning. Of course, that is excluding Cade Mays. Jalen Wright was named the SEC Freshman of the Week. He had 112 yards on 15 carries, averaged about 7 yards per carry. He had a touchdown, and it is the sixth honor of the season, weekly honor of the season, for this Tennessee team. The second Freshman of the Week honor, of course, Laneith Whitehead took home honors after the Missouri game as well. And Tennessee picked up another commit on Monday afternoon. His name is Christian Harrison. If that name sounds familiar, Harrison, well, his father, a 2-time Super Bowl champion and a 3-time All-Pro safety, Rodney Harrison, that is his father. Christian Harrison, the new volunteer commit, is a 3-star. He's a cornerback, 6'1", 180 pounds, of course, class of 2022. He is from College Park, Georgia, where he stands out at Woodward Academy. I did the impact analysis at VolQuest.com. It's a free read if you want to check it out. Again, that's at VolQuest.com. He is the 15th commit for this class of 2022. He is the 5th defensive pledge, but he is the 1st defensive back in this class. So there's going to be more, whether it be from the prep level or the junior college ranks or the transfer portal, but he is the first, all right? Here's the scouting report from Ryan Davis. He is the defensive backs coach at Woodward Academy, where Christian Harris attends high school. He's also the director of recruiting and special teams coordinator for the school. This is his quote on Christian. Quote, Christian is an amazing athlete. He brings an exceptional amount of athleticism to his game. He's extremely fluid in his movement. It's almost natural in the way he moves as a defensive back, which allows him to be an exceptional man coverage guy. He's got very good ball skills because he plays receiver for us as well. He's got good top end speed as well as the pedigree from what he comes from. His best football is in front of him. I think he's a little bit of a late bloomer, so I'm excited to see how he develops over the upcoming years. My scouting report and watching the tape and kind of watching some of his games this season, he's got a nose for the football, man. He is always around the football. Even when he's out there on an island by himself on the corner, he finds a way to jump in on the tackles or, you know, have tackles at or around the line of scrimmage. He's really good, you know, physical with his hands, does a great job of trying to tear the ball loose, punching the ball loose while securing a tackle. You know, and he doesn't shy away from contact. That's pretty evident. Coverage skills, he displays good speed. I wouldn't say great speed. Speed didn't jump off the charts for me, but he's fast enough to run with wideouts and man coverage. He presses well on the line of scrimmage. Again, he doesn't shy away from those contacts, and he's got good back pedal. He plays off man too as well. Doesn't let the cushion soften his coverage. In zone, he's got really good discipline, eye discipline to kind of help over the top. Shows good closing speed to get across the field to help out with some of those balls across the middle. He's versatile too. He can play safety, but he's more of a corner. Again, he played wide receiver at the prep level, shows great ball skills when high pointing the football. Jeremy Pruitt once said that he wants defensive backs that are used to having the balls in their hands on offense at the prep level. I think that is a good thing to look for in a defensive back as well. You know, what does this mean for Tennessee in terms of this commitment? Well, like I said, it's the first defensive back commit of this class. In terms of cornerback, Tennessee is losing Alante Taylor and Kenneth George Jr. from the mix. They do bring back Warren Burrell and transfers Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage, though Turnage has been playing more star of late. Tennessee also brings back Deshaun Rucker and Tyus Fields at the position. Tennessee is still after Marquise Gilbert of JUCO, Michael Carraway Jr. of JUCO, Keontae Scott of JUCO, Desmond Williams of JUCO, Cody Jones, Amari Jackson, Jordan Thomas, Jeremiah Caldwell. Those are some guys from the prep level that Tennessee is still trying to recruit to the defensive backfield. So Christian Harrison, he's a nice piece. He's got about nine offers since mid-October. And, you know, that is really, really solid in terms of how his recruitment is really, you know, starting up. It's you know, the upward trend. He's one of the hotter prospects in the country right now in terms of just his name being on the headline. So it came down between Tennessee, Nebraska, and Florida. And, well, Nebraska's not good. Florida's in flux. So it didn't really, you know, take much to see there who he was going to commit to. And so that is Tennessee's newest commit, the 15th commit for the class of 2022, the fifth defensive commit for Tennessee's class of 2022, and the first guy from the secondary to commit. His name is Christian Harrison. And one other thing here as we end our show, I've got a story coming out here in the next few days at VolQuest.com, but I'm going to give you guys a little teaser for it right now. How good was Josh Heupel's inaugural season atop the hill? Well, it's pretty good, all right? A couple stats here for you. Tennessee was the fastest offense in the regular – these are all regular season stats. Tennessee was the fastest offense in the country at 2.94 plays per minute. Ole Miss was second at 2.85. Okay, Tennessee led the nation in first quarter scoring at 14.08 first quarter points on average. Georgia was next at 12.17, so almost 2 points higher on average scoring in the first quarter to lead the nation in the entire country, all right? Tennessee led the nation in points per minute at 1.61. Western Kentucky finished second at 1.55. Ohio State was the closest Power 5 program at 1.53 points per minute. Okay, so we're talking about a couple of country-leading statistics here because of that high-octane offense. Tennessee's 38.8 points per game. That tally ranked second in modern program history, just behind the 1993 Volunteer squad that averaged 42.8 points per game. The offense racked up the highest total yardage per game mark since the 2012 season, at 459 yards an outing. That explosive unit back in 2012 was 475.9 yards per game. Remember that was Tyler Bray, Justin Hunter, Cordero Patterson, all those guys. At 466 total points this season, Tennessee's team ranks third in single-season school history. The offense scored 45 or more points in six of their 12 games, tied that 1993 team for the most 45-point games in a single season. Also, Josh Heupel led all Power 5 first-year head coaches at new programs with 7 wins in the regular season. Gus Malzahn and somebody else, I forgot who the other coach was, I apologize, but Gus Malzahn and one other person were the only first-year head coaches anywhere in college football that had more regular season wins than Josh Heupel's 7. But Josh Heupel led all first-year head coaches at new programs in the Power 5 landscape with 7 wins. Shane Beamer, Brian Harsin, they had 6 wins. Brett Bielema, Steve Sarkisian had 5 wins. Lance Leipold and Clark Lee had 2 wins. And Jed Finch at Arizona had just 1 win. A couple more as well. Tennessee finished 94 tackles for loss. That is just 6 behind the 2016 Volunteers. You have a chance to surpass that in a single season with 7 TFLs in the bowl game. All right. And again, those are just a couple of the stats there. Then we can go in and talk about each individual player, where they rank in the SEC and all that type of stuff. But, you know, that's for another day. Again, this entire piece will come out at VolQuest.com in the coming days. But isn't that good? I mean, that's really, really solid, right? I mean, year one for Josh Heupel, has it been perfect? No. But has it gotten off to a solid start? Absolutely. Now, the expectation is, how can you grow from that? How can you expand on those stats? And more importantly, how many more wins can you get? That'll be the charge for Josh Heupel and his coaching staff as the years go on. One other note is where we're going to end this action-packed show. It's been full-fledged. It's been fast and furious. I've had conversation with a couple of people. Again, like I said on Monday's show, my expectation is Josh Heupel wouldn't even entertain the thought of Oklahoma if Oklahoma came calling. Of course, looking for a new head coach, Lincoln Riley darted to USC. I personally feel like there's a lot of bad blood there. I don't feel like fences have been mended. I don't get the feeling, and from people I've spoken to, if Oklahoma reached out, I don't think that that's a thing right now. Never going to say never. Coaching search season is weird. Tennessee's been through this. I'm never going to say never, but that's not my expectation. So if you're worried about that, I'll take a deep breath and cool down for a little bit. That's not my expectations, but again, you know how things work out. Never say never. All right, a whole lot of fun. We did Twitter Tuesday. Thanks so much for chiming in, guys. Really appreciate it. We went over some stats. We went over Tennessee's newest commits and talked about some Player of the Week honors as well. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Locked On Vols is done here. Check out Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen today after Locked On Vols. Of course, that's your first listen. You got your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. That is Locked On Bets for your second listen. What's on the docket coming up tomorrow? Well, we know Josh Ward will join the show. Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday and a whole lot more. That's coming up tomorrow on another Locked On Vols.